This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, happy morning to you, everybody. I appreciate you turning in. This is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, brought to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, and we do take phone calls on questions, comments, or whatever. 799-1250 is the phone number. That's 414-799-1250. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie is back. And after his big move, so welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning us in this early morning. Some of you are probably driving out to the lakes right now. Looks like it's going to be a nice day. And I'll tell you what, from everything that I've heard, fish are biting. Bass are in their pre-spawn mood. And, man, I'll tell you what, guys are catching a lot of fish. And later on in the show, I'm going to tell you what you better have in your tackle box in order to catch those fish. Anyway, Nick, so the move went well, huh?
The move did go well. So nice not having to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to drive that hour and 20 minutes here from Sun Prairie. So yeah, good to be with you. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and speaking of bushy, here he is. There we go, Dan Bush.
Rolling into the studio with his musky bait and tackle shop hoodie on. We got phone calls already.
He's got swag.
I wonder if this is Kevin calling us right away at 6 o'clock in the morning or 6:04 in the morning. Oh man, I'll tell you, this has been kind of a wild week, kind of a crappy week weather wise. But I'll tell you what though, fish have been biting, especially bass. And crappies are still going good, bluegills. That stuff, but bass, man, I'll tell you what, they are just chomping and
test. Yeah. It's working.
Yeah, it's working.
So
how's the headset working?
I'll tell you as soon as I plug it in. Where are you catching bass?
Every lake is doing well.
Once again, Tom Neubauer.
I'll tell you
diversion.
All our area lakes.
Thanks, Jim Comey.
Are
good
excellent.
Straight answer there.
Yeah, they're all good. So who do you got on the line? Somebody calling us early.
You had it pegged, man. It's our old buddy Kevin from Maple Ridge.
All right. Good morning, Kevin.
Old buddy Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
And Dan is here.
And Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin.
I was charged up last night. I was trying to tell Nick that you've heard of Bart Winkler.
Yeah.
We love Bart Winkler.
You know what?
Well, I don't know about that.
I love Bart Winkler, and you can catch him anytime. Chuck and Winkler,
105.7
FM, The Fan, 6
to 10. My dad.
Yeah, but did you hear what happened?
What happened?
What?
He was on WSCR out of Chicago.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was down. He was going to do he was going to talk to one of the Chicago reporters. Yeah. Yep. So what happened?
Yep.
It was good.
Yeah.
He sounded great.
Yeah. Did they argue?
No.
What was there to argue about? Well, we beat him 7-0.
Hey,
what do you mean? Did they argue?
Because that's not the Bart Winkler I know.
No,
that's why.
Did they? they just kind of like have a friendly chat between,
neighboring. Yeah, they did. And it was real good. I mean, he comes on and he's, how's it going? You know, and he's like talking and then at the end he says, Joe Ostrowski says, oh, that was Bart Winkler from The Fan. And I'm like, oh, man.
That's a pretty good plug, huh, Kevin?
Yeah.
That's 105.7 The Fan up there in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got to ask you, have you ever eaten smelt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like them. We used to go smelting a lot.
Well, this is the time right now, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's the time, but there's forget doing it down here, but up in Lake Superior, they're doing well.
Well,
a couple weeks ago, they started doing really well.
I could call my buddy Jeff. He goes up by Port Wing, which is where my dad used to smelt fish as a kid.
How do you cook them?
Well, first of all, you got to cut the head off, cut the tail off, cut the guts out, run your fingers along to get most of the scales off. And then you put them in any kind of batter you want and deep fry them.
Kind of like French fries, Kevin. Now, like Tom says.
Yeah, kind of like French fries. Yeah.
Years ago, I used to just cut the head off because they're normally about, I don't know, 7, 8, 5 inches, whatever long.
5, 6, yeah.
Take your knife and just kind of split the belly and then just take your finger and just run it straight, towards the head area from tail to front, stem to stern, something like that, and get all the guts out. And then I wouldn't even bother trying to get any scales off. They're not really any to mention.
I mean, they're small, but I would clean them
nicely.
You
fry it up, and it just makes it more crispy. So it was easy. But after cleaning for 4 hours in the backyard on a cool spring day, you'd be going up and down the street with buckets of smelt. We'd be going over to the Fayes's. We'd go to the Larsons. We'd go to the Whitney's.
Selling
we'd go
them for
to
a
the
buck
Bichette's.
A pound or what?
We'd just say, hey, would you like some smelt? Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, here you go. And we'd give them away.
I'll tell you what, though, Kevin, the larger ones, the like 8, 9 inches, those you didn't want. You wanted the 4, 5, 6 inches.
I would save those, Thomas, for northern pike bait.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, pike
you'd,
fishing.
You'd pick out the biggest. The great big ones, like 10, 12 inches, and save those for the,
Because you could, yes, Kevin.
You know who's on ISN this morning?
No, don't tell us. I know who. Don't tell us.
Well, you can do it. What's the big deal, Tom?
Why? Because I don't want people to get bored. Tune it in and get bored.
Okay.
At least this show, we won't let you fall asleep. The other show, you fall asleep.
All right. Kevin, we got another call coming, I guess. So we're going to have to run, buddy. But your birthday's coming up next month, right?
Yeah, June 9th.
All right, buddy. We won't forget.
All right.
We'll see you, buddy.
See you. See you, Kevin.
Yep,
bye now.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. That I kind of miss the smelt fishing and, eating the fresh smelt like that. I kind of miss that, But, I'll tell you, the salmon and trout in this lake in the big pond. They've done a number on them. They really have. The salmon and trout were introduced to take care of the alewife population. You remember what Bradford Beach used to be like, right, Danny? I mean, it stunk. It smelled. Flies all over.
Dan didn't live down here back then, but up on the Bay of Green Bay.
It was the same way?
Same thing. Oh, you'd go on the Bay of Green Bay and go along the shoreline there. I remember fishing along Bay Beach Park and there were dead alewives everywhere in the rocks on the shoreline.
And that also brought the rats out. The rats were all over all the rock pilings along shore. And flies, and it stunk. I mean, it was terrible. And then they introduced the salmon and trout. And, those are just eating machines.
It was an experiment that turned out to be
great.
A billion dollars. Huge is my buddy DeLuca used to say from out east. A huge success.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about rats, Tom.
Yeah,
I told you about the nuclear plant world record rat years ago that.
No, I don't remember.
Okay, well, years ago, I and a guy from Green Bay this time of year went out to the Point Beach nuclear plant and it might even have been earlier in the season because they didn't have the one. There's two discharges. One has a fishing pier available. where you can just stand right on the pier and the chute goes right underneath your feet.
Yeah.
That wasn't open at the time, but then there was another one. And so we, or maybe it was shut down for maintenance. So anyway, we were fishing the other one. We were on the beach. So you had to chuck your bait way the heck out. I'd have a little alewife on a bobber, and I'd throw it as far as I could, and I could just barely get it into the discharge and let it kind of start drifting out. And I caught a couple brown trout. Anyway, we're sitting on lawn chairs about midnight, and we're just kind of zoning out. Now, the fact, maybe Randy, the guy I was with, had about 25 beers, but not me. But we were zoning out sitting there. And all of a sudden, you know how you kind of sense something out of the corner of your eye?
Yeah.
I kind of sense something, and I kind of glance, and running along the beach is this huge rat.
And you thought it was like a woodchuck or something.
Dude.
Or something else
I'm
other than a rat.
I'm telling you, it was huge, and it ran directly underneath his lawn chair.
Oh, no.
Now, he's to my right. I'm sitting to the left of him. And I was just kind of zoning out, and all I said was, "Watch it, Randy. There's a big rat." And I no sooner got rat out of my mouth that he glances down, and I've never seen a guy like a cartoon character shoot straight out like he had a rocket
in his
arse that launched him out of the chair. I swear to God, he hit 5 feet, and he's going, whoa, screaming, and the rat jumped up and about hit its head on the top of the lawn chair.
Oh my
underneath,
goodness.
The rat jumped up and did a 180 in the same, and was hit the ground running along the beach.
They scared each other.
Oh my God. And this guy, it was funny because he always tried to be the tough guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was laughing. I thought, man, you screamed like a squirrel. I didn't scream, man. I didn't scream. No, I didn't. Yet. I'm like, yes, you did. You, whoa. And of course, before he even hit the ground from jumping, I was in hot pursuit of the rat. I had a big rock in my hand, and I'm chasing it down the beach, chucking rocks at it, and it ran inside like a culvert and disappeared. But I'm telling you, man, that was a protein-packed, alewife-filled rat. I would have liked to have got that rat and weighed it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, if you study the size of, like, I think there's the Norway rat is the biggest one. If you look up, their size isn't really that big. I think a big one would be a pound.
Yeah.
And but
right.
I swear to God, this one looked like it was like big as a big fox squirrel.
Well, we got to go to a break, but when we come back, folks, I kind of teased it earlier. If you're out bass fishing today, if you're on your way out, or maybe you got the radio on while you're out there, or you're going out tomorrow, I'm telling you, there's a certain lure you got to have in your box. And I'll tell you when we come back from this break what you've got to have to catch more bass. We'll be right back here on Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back.
He's talking about us, Danny. Look at them yo-yos. He shouldn't be talking
That's
about us like
the way
this.
You do it.
Shouldn't be talking about
Bass
us that
for nothing
way.
Nothing in your walleyes for free.
All right. Gonna tell you what the hot That's bait is that you better have in your tackle box if you want to catch more bass this spring. Now, you know, I mentioned it a few weeks ago that, you know, as a matter of fact, my son Nick asked me when he was going out. He said, well, what bait should we have? And I says, well, this time of year, you know, when the bass are in pre-spawn, I says, you want to be able to cover area quickly.
Can
you
want to
find them.
Can I get you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Bass Buster Beetle Spin.
No.
And boy, does it catch fish.
No.
No, that's I'm just flashing back to old advertisements back in the day. The
anyway, Virgil Ward.
Virgil Ward. I wanted to do a Saturday Night Live skit where they'd make one that's about 2 feet long, a beetle spin, and they'd call it Ass Buster Beetle Spin, because you got to bust your ass to cast it. It'd be a great skit, right?
Yeah, well, anyway, I told him, you know, use spinner baits, buzz baits, shallow run crank baits, you know, stuff that moves fast, something that you can cover water with quick. And there was one other lure I told him about, And we should have talked about it more on the show, but I'll talk about it now. Because there's a great article in Badger Sportsman magazine about chatterbaits. Chatterbaits is basically, it's a jig with a lip in, with a metal lip in front of it. And it's a wiggling jig. And the thing is you got to put some type of plastic on the back. Now, I've always liked, my favorite plastic on the back has been a Zoom split tail trailer. A white one. I don't care what color the chatterbait is. I'm going to put a white one on.
Don't the chatterbaits have like a rubber skirt
no,
or plastic trailer?
No, they come
as it
without.
Is?
They come without it.
Really?
When they first came out,
the musky ones, size ones.
Well, the
musky
ones might, but the thing is the bass size ones when they first came out, they would come with a paddle tail trailer, a minnow with a paddle tail on the back trailer. But nowadays, no, they don't come out. They don't come with plastics. You put your own. A lot of guys, you know, a small paddle tail is good too. Okay. One time I tried this 5-inch thick paddle tail, a big one. It just changed the whole action of the bait. It was terrible. Didn't catch anything with that thing. But I like the Zoom split tail trailer, and I'm going to put a white one on no matter what color the chatterbait is. But the chatterbait, you can run it shallow. A lot of people think that it's going to dive deep and whatever. No. You just start real, you know, in the shallower water where you got some weeds below and you want to keep it up a little higher. As soon as it hits the water, you start reeling and just hold your rod up.
It's not a diving bait.
No, it's not really a diving bait. And, you know, they work really well in the summertime too, especially down deep weed line edges. You know,
can just
let it
sink and work it slow.
And then just work it back. Yeah.
And the great thing, you are right, Tom, is that the chatterbait has a really good action at a slow retreat.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And then one of our guys in the area came up with kind of a giant size one called the Angry Dragon. They have it at the Smokey's Muskie Shop, and it's done well for muskies.
Right.
What manufacturer of chatterbait? Are there several companies that make chatterbaits? Well, is there one you prefer?
The original one is Z-Man.
That's the ones I've been buying my Ned rigs
from. Yeah, Z-Man. I've been using all theirs. I mean, I'm sure there's other companies that make
them. Out of Chirpers? Have you got any of those?
Oh, yeah. We got just about every color. We got two sizes, quarter ounce and three. Or do we just have 3/8 ounce? I think we just have 3/8. 3/8 ounce is the most popular.
Yeah, because that's a little heavier.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's not like it's going to run real deep or anything. No. I would want the slightly heavier so you can chuck the casts a little bit further.
Right.
Yeah.
And they are a good search bait. You know, they're a good search bait, a lot of action. You can cover water with them. And if there's bass in the area and if they're in a positive mood or even in a neutral mood, they will a lot of times just, if they're in positive, they're going to jump on it without a doubt. But even in a neutral feeding mood, they'll most likely attack it. So
you mentioned the area bass lakes are rocking now.
Yeah. I mean, because these lakes are great, Danny. I mean,
were
actually
you
all over
week,
the state.
Or was your
one of my sons was. But, you know, talking to other guys.
So you're talking to guys.
Yeah.
This is the
everybody's doing good.
Report. They're doing good.
Yes.
Shallow water for bass.
Yeah.
Does it kind of look for the warming water?
Well, right now what bass are doing is they're in their pre-spawn mode.
Yeah, staging.
So they're coming in, moving around. They're not always up real shallow. Some of them are, you know. But they'll be on the flats in front of their spawning areas. They're moving around. They're feeding. You know, they'll be feeding. You know, once they get in that spawn mood, then it's not so much feeding.
Well,
it'll be post-spawn.
Pretty much why this time of year, if I am out musky fishing, typically fishing shallow weeds for early season muskies, throwing small bucktails and spinner baits.
Slammers.
I'll hook a 4-pound bass.
Yeah.
Almost every spring you'll catch at least one nice bass in the shallows.
They're there. So,
but you think a chatterbait is a good presentation? Because you used to say spinnerbait this time of year.
I like spinnerbaits too. I mean, spinnerbait, chatterbait, they're both small crankbaits that'll only go down a foot or two, you know?
Right.
That works, too. Those will all work, yeah. Let's see who we got on the line right now.
We got our friend Tony on the line.
All right. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Hey, did you hear anything about Pine Lake? Because I was out there Saturday morning,
Yeah.
And we saw fish in the shallows, but we also seen some dead fish.
Oh, yeah?
Dead northern, some dead crappie, little couple bluegills, but those mud puppies. And the bass, some bass had that fuzz on their snout. they were swimming.
Yeah, yeah. I did hear like on Pewaukee Lake had an early algae bloom, you know, that stuff that's not good for fish or whatever. So some of the other lakes might have had it too, you know, but it should wear off quickly.
I just wonder if that virus is back on pine that was on it a couple years ago.
Because that's possible, that Tony. Yeah, that's possible, Tony.
You know, it wasn't, I mean, the water temp was at around 51, 52 almost all over the place. And we saw fish, and they just had massive lockjaw, and there wasn't nothing biting. But we saw those bass with the fuzz on the front. We're like, well, what the heck's going on here?
Did you happen to call the DNR about it?
No, I didn't even bother with it. Well, the next day we went to Lake X, and we had a pretty good time. We even caught some on some jitterbugs. So.
Is that right?
I guess I would say, Tony, that every lake, there's always going to be some dead fish. There's fish, you know, mortality
after,
there.
But Dan, this lake had a virus on it a couple years ago that almost wiped it out. I mean,
I remember that.
Bass that were on I saw 19, 20 inch smallmouth that were dead by the river.
Right.
So to say that this is happening, I don't, something might be on this lake again.
I guess if you keep seeing a whole bunch more, then you're probably on to something.
I've been fishing this lake for a very long time, Dan, and in the last couple of years this is happening, and the weeds they weren't really even starting to come up. The lily pads a little bit, but we saw a couple of pike where their snouts were buried like in holes of the matted weeds, but yet their bodies were bent totally.
Wow.
So who knows how long these fish were dead.
Right. I'm going to, you know, during the show, I'll wait a little while. I'm going to call the area warden for that area, Marcus Madura.
Medina.
Marcus Medina. I'll give him a buzz. I'll see if he's working this morning. I'll call him a little later.
Well, Ben Heisner is the biologist.
He's the biologist, but the warden might know something too. Maybe we could call Ben too. Wake him up.
All right.
I'll look for his number.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Tony. Bye now. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's possible. As far as that water thing on Pewaukee, Tom Kep, who is the guy who kind of manages the watershed out there for the sanitary district, and he's head of our walleyes for tomorrow. He sent a good email to us, Tom, explaining the bloom on Pewaukee.
Yeah, I think I read about that.
And basically, it's not necessarily harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happened was with the rapid melting of the ice,
right,
and then the rain, a bunch of debris came on, you know, got in there. And what's going on now with that, the algae bloom is going, and the plants, I guess the plants, the aquatic weed growth, feeds on this, you know, algae and stuff itself.
Right.
But the plants really haven't had a chance, the aquatic weed growth, from what I understand, hasn't had a chance to really come up yet.
Okay.
So that, therefore, that stuff is just booming out there right now. Once we get some warm, sunny days and we get some of that weed, you know, aquatic growth coming up, you know, then it should start to, you know, get better from what I'm guessing. Now, it could be a good thing, though. For you may remember, it was about 10 years ago, I don't know, maybe longer. There was one year where the weeds did not come up on the east end, hardly like it normally does.
Right.
And I didn't even troll that year on Pewaukee, which I do every summer on Pewaukee, because at that point, any dummy with a boat and a bucktail could go on the east end that summer and catch a muskie.
Right.
I remember one day I went out, I was one of those dummies, I went out, fished 3 hours, caught 3 muskies from 9 to noon, and went back in and took a nap. I mean, it was not, the fish were there. I mean, there were weeds, but then there were some pockets and stuff.
Right, right, yeah.
And man, I think that was the same year some guys from Michigan came down and fished a week on Pewaukee, and the last day caught a 51-incher on a topwater, on a creeper, on that rock bar there. So maybe we'll have another year where maybe if those weeds aren't, you know, maybe this, you know, might be a year where we don't have all those weeds. Who knows? You never know. You got to go out and learn the weed edges every year on Pewaukee because it changes.
It does. Well, we got to go to a break, folks, but coming up next is the Gut Report. I got a magical elixir for you. So the Gut Report's coming up next. And don't forget, after the 6:45 break, we will be playing the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Carl's Country Market and Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. So stay tuned for that and much, much more coming up on the show. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And you stay tuned to this station.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where before I give you the Gut Report, I got to tell you real quick, if you want a really good wine, at least I think it's really good, go to Discount Liquor and look for Door County Christmas Red Table Wine. Door County, you know, Door County's famous for their cherry wines and whatever.
Yeah.
But you get the
Door. Eyes too.
Yeah. Go to Door County and get the Christmas Red Table Wine. Go to Discount Liquor. I'm telling you, it is.
So you don't have to go to Door County to get it.
You don't have to go to Door County. You go to Discount Liquor. Has
Does Amazon send it?
No. No.
Like on a drone?
No. Discount Liquor will have it.
Here comes the drone, lands on your porch.
They have everything.
Door County wine strapped to the top.
Discount Liquor has everything. Well, anyway, here's the Gut Report.
I wonder if a guy could order beer like that.
No, you can't. Anyway, here's the...
I'm going to start the business.
Maybe you could. Anyway, Gut Report. Nick Stellino. He's a chef on TV.
Nick Stellino.
Stellino. Now, I just happened to be flipping through channels, and I saw Nick Stellino, and he was making something. Then he said he's got his special Nick Stellino secret
pie.
Extra special spices.
Deluxe.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, it's the stuff I've been using for I can't tell you how long I've been using it.
And you invented it?
No. I borrowed it from somebody else, okay? So I saw it on a show, God, must be 10 or more, 15 years ago. And now Nick Stellino, I think, borrowed it from me. So
what is the Nick Stellino / Tom?
You're going to... This is very easy, and I'm telling you what, it works. It's especially good on pork, like on ribs that I'm making today on the grill. It's a great rub for that, but you can put it on just about
wild
anything.
Game.
Put it on wild game. Put it on steaks. Put it on chicken. Put it on your...
turkey.
Anything. You can put it on... Even if you're making a casserole, throw it in there. I mean, it's good. Here, this is what it is. So simple, folks.
Here we go.
Equal amounts of salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, and brown sugar. Equal parts. Now, what I generally do is I'll do the equal parts of the garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, and brown sugar. With the salt and pepper, I just back it down just a little bit.
Well, yeah, because the doc told you to cut back on the salt.
No, well, he tells me a lot of things I don't listen to.
You don't
to
listen.
Just but
like
anyway.
Kevin smokes.
Yeah. So anyway, but the thing is, I just, you know, if you don't want as much salt, just back off a little bit if you don't want as much pepper. But I would do equal amounts of everything. All right. Try that. And lots. And when I make ribs on the grill, though, I will also put oregano in there, dried oregano. I'll do that, too. But if you do the equal amounts, I'm going to repeat it one more time, salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, brown sugar. Make as much as you need. It is good. It tastes good on just about anything, folks. I'm serious. Now, I haven't tried it on fish yet, but I promise you this week, sometime before the next show, I will try it on fish, and I bet you it'll be good on that too. But anyway, try that. That spice rub, it is really good. Anyway, the Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Who you got on the line, Nick?
We got our pal Rich.
All right. Hey, pal Rich, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I want to talk turkey a little bit.
All right, you talk turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
I was a little optimistic about the season was going to be with all the heavy snows they had in central and northern Wisconsin this year, but everything turned out pretty good.
You went out?
My group of six all shot nice toms.
Good for you.
We got up within a 3-day period.
Yeah.
We were concerned on the weights on them and all that. The weights were all 20 to 22 pounds.
Oh, those are nice.
So very nice, yeah.
And, hey, let me ask you something, Rich. Now, I don't know if I asked you this before or not, because I know you've called in a number of times. What do you like better, the wild turkey or the store-bought turkey?
You know what? It they're the same.
Yeah? Horse apiece?
Not. I basically, what I do on the wild ones is I basically slow cook them in a turkey gravy,
yeah,
and over mashed potatoes and that, and cranberry sauce, out of this world.
Okay, You put them in the slow cooker?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's the only way I do it. I'm sure there's other ways.
Oh, yeah, I'm
sure.
You
know, I'll tell you what, I actually used to deep fry them, too.
And, oh, yeah?
I've done that a few times. I probably won't do that again, but very good, very delicious.
Oh, you got one of the big deep fryers for turkey thing?
Yeah, I tested one a couple years ago, and I've done a couple, and then it's just it's a little more work there.
Yeah, I know. I got one, too. And you know what? And it's funny. You pay more for the oil than you do for the darn turkey. And then it's, like you said, and it's a lot of work, you know, disposing of the oil and everything and firing it all up, getting it up to temperature. And the first time I did it, Rich, I didn't know you were supposed to lower the turkey in slowly. I just put it in, and guess what happened?
You got spattered?
Oh, that oil flowed over the top of that. It was all over the place.
Tom, I can't believe you, of all people, would screw that up.
Well, I'd never done it before.
I've never done it, but people told me.
Yeah, well, nobody told me. I just dropped it in there. So, but anyway.
Anyway, so there's a few more weeks of turkey hunting. Yep. They got a couple more seasons to go, time period-wise. And then next weekend, I'm going to be up in Door County. Excellent smallmouth bass fishery.
Oh, yeah.
They usually have the Sturgeon Bay Bass Tournament up that week.
Yeah, Danny will be up there. He's going up pretty soon.
I'm going to be up there the following week. May 28th, I'm headed up.
Okay, the week after the tournament. That's good.
Wonderful. The fish are, I'm not going to be able to go in a boat this trip, but there are opportunities on shore.
There are, yeah.
And you can get five fish that are average over 4 pounds.
Yeah, it's amazing up there.
Yeah, there's so many big fish.
I'll tell you the trick. The trick is shiners.
Yeah,
you can have these pro guys next to you, and you'll outfish them 10-1 easy. Yeah.
Just a medium shiner or small shiner on a hook.
You know what? I like the medium to large.
But yeah,
they've actually got them. Our guys got them on small because when you get a load of shiners, you always get a small one or two.
Yeah,
they'll hit that too.
Oh yeah, they will. You better believe
it. The magic number for smallmouths is they need a water temperature about 47 degrees for spawning. I don't know what it's going to be, but
actually it's usually a little higher than that. But see, but the Bay of Green Bay is a little bit different than the inland lakes. Yeah, normally smallies spawn a little bit more than that. Yeah.
Okay,
usually in the upper mid to upper 50s. But Bay of Green Bay, who knows? Maybe they spawn earlier.
It's not all water temperature.
I know. It's not all water temperature. There's sunlight and everything involved. But
I was fishing walleyes up there this spring, and the water temperature was 36 degrees.
And they were spawned out, some of them.
And there were some that had been spawning already.
Yeah. So, you know, and they should be spawning, in the mid-40s, right? And 43, 45,
early 40s. 43 normally.
And, you know, they don't always read the same books we do.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck there, Rich.
Yeah,
hey, we'll give you a report in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks for calling. Yeah, okay, bye now. Well, folks, it is that time. And do you want to play that disclaimer for us for the Hornswoggle? You got that up? Okay,
he's prizes and awards from the Hornswoggle contest are solely the responsibility of Tom Hardbottom Neubauer and not the station.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. If you don't get your Coleman in the mail, Tom.
Yeah, all the prize contests on the Cutting Edge Outdoors are the sole responsibility of the Cutting Edge Outdoors radio show and its sponsors. Any questions or comments should be directed to CEOguys@yahoo.com. So you don't even have to play it.
Good job. If anybody has won in the last 6 weeks, we ask that we got kind of a list. We don't want the same people monopolizing, winning everything all the time. We want to give more people a chance. Plus, that's better for our sponsors. It exposes more people to their products.
Yeah.
So give some people a chance. But if you haven't won in a while, you can give a call.
And to tell you who's sponsoring it, if you win the prizes, you will get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market. And they also have live bait in their gas station, live bait and fishing tackle, your basic stuff. You'll get a $10 gift certificate from there. They're in Menominee Falls on Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road.
Get the barbecue sticks when
you're
there.
Yeah, those are good. Those are
if you're going
good.
Fishing, you can pick up bait and then get the barbecue sticks at the meat shop.
They got them right in the gas station.
Oh, they got them there too?
Yeah,
man,
sealed.
Are those good. Yeah. I had a bunch made out of my deer. I was going to save it for this Door County trip.
Yeah. It's all gone?
All gone, yeah. I'd be hungry in the middle of the night, and I'd chisel one out of the freezer.
And then sponsored by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents, where you'll get a choice of either a first aid kit or fish attractants and insect repellents. So, anyway, a lot of prizes. Hope you win. I'm giving a list of names to Nick right now. So call 799-1250 to play the Hornswoggle game. 799-1250. Call now. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this beautiful, well, okay, sunny Saturday morning.
Yeah,
okay, I'll take it. Better than last week, I guess.
Yeah.
Right now we have our Hornswoggle segment, which is what everybody waits for. It's the most exciting part of the show, of course, where people can be a lucky wiener and they can end up with some great prize packages. All they got to do is know a little bit about the great outdoors and know whether I'm pulling their leg or not. On the line, we have Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, so you do any hunting or fishing yet this spring?
Actually, I haven't. I've been way too busy.
All right.
Lots of work. Time to get out there.
All right. So here we go. I'm going to make the three statements, and if you win, you win. So here we go. The topic today is Fox.
He's a genius, hey?
Fox. In the great state of Wisconsin, there is only one species of fox, and that is the red fox. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's a Hornswoggle.
What is the other species of fox?
Is it a, I don't know, brown fox
Isn't
or something?
Isn't it a gray?
Gray.
Brown fox.
Well, it's
gray
kind of
fox.
Gray, it's kind of brown.
Brown fox.
Kind of brown. They got some brown in them.
God. Okay, all right, you're one for one.
He's two for two. Mike said gray.
Yeah, but that wasn't the gray, wasn't the question.
just giving him some credit.
Just sit back there and let me run the contest, Nick. So here we go. The the great naturalist Leonard Lee Roux III once clocked a red fox at a top running speed of 47.65 miles per hour.
That's a Hornswoggle.
That is a Hornswoggle. Yeah.
Very good.
Fox are fast, but they're not that fast. Okay, well, let's see if you would have been three for three. Here we go. Horse and hound hunting for fox has been big in England for many years, but it's a little known fact that the tradition of Mother's Day actually originated with those hunters, where once a year they would honor the top female hunters of the year, who were normally mothers.
Not
Hornswoggle. That's a Hornswoggle.
Oh, come on. You knew that had to be a Hornswoggle. Come on, Mike. Mike.
That's okay. That's okay. So anyway.
Next week.
What would you like?
Right. Oh, didn't he lose? Or did he win?
No, he got the first two right.
Oh, okay. Good. Good for you, Mike.
Boy, oh boy.
All right. Awesome. Thanks.
What do you want? You can either get from the Coleman Baitmate people, you can either get their tiny, their small little compact first aid kit, or...
I'll take the first aid kit because guys like to cut themselves on a job site.
All right.
Okay.
And then you're going to get that $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Markets over there in Menominee Falls.
All right. So they'll arrive separately. I'll mail out the certificate for Carl's Country Market in a day or two here, and then I'll contact our good friends at Baitmate Fish Attractant, and they'll get that to you.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Mike. Bye now. Okay, Danny.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this real quick.
Gotcha.
Kentucky Derby. Now, Danny and I, we bet on this every year.
That's fair to talk about.
Yeah, we lost. We lost our money. But here's the thing. You heard my, I sent you a voicemail, and I'm sure you heard it, to tell you we lost. But here's the thing. The horse, did you watch it, Nick, at all? Or
no,
hear about it?
I heard about it.
Okay,
I was
the horse that came in first got disqualified.
It's all over the world.
Right, and rightly so.
I saw that on a Goodyear blimp flying over my house.
That finally came in, the horse that actually ended up winning then, 65-1 odds.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the no-name bookie, and I said, who the heck would put money on a 65-1 shot, right? Who does that? Nobody bets on that horse. He said, my wife did. His wife bet a $2 bet across the board on a 65-1 shot, and she won. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, you got to be kidding me. So she won. A win, place, and show. That's when you do across the board.
Yeah.
So it was a $6 bet, and she won. It was like almost $300.
Jeez.
I mean, who bets on a 65-1 shot? My goodness. And in Las Vegas, they won a lot of money because nobody's betting on that guy.
Well, you know, that's good. I'm glad Las Vegas won. I was kind of feeling sorry for him.
Oh, yeah. I feel real sorry for them.
Sorry for Vegas. You know, they've been gone through a tough time with the economy because once Trump got in, it's been wrecking Vegas, you know, and it's all his fault and all those poor casinos down there.
No, Danny, you know.
Closing their doors. And
Danny.
People are walking out.
You know what, whose fault it is?
They're all driving Ubers for side money. What?
You know who's – He finally looked over.
I wasn't done.
You were rambling.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know whose fault it was?
Bush.
Climate change.
Oh, yeah, climate change.
Climate change.
Yeah, with
That's
climate
the fault
change.
Of everything.
You know, it's just too hot in Vegas. Nobody wants to fly out there and gamble in
casino.
Climate
change.
Who wants to go from that cold, air-conditioned casino into the blistering heat?
Yeah.
You could have a heart attack from that
I'll tell
abrupt
you what,
change.
I went out. I was out there one year in end of July. And I fished on Lake Mead at the end of July. And I'll tell you, that's like fishing in an oven. It's hot.
That's because that's the desert,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's 2 hours. It's like, get me out of here. I'm done. You know?
Gotcha.
Oh, terrible. Who do you got? Nobody? Okay, here.
Nobody.
Here's another one. You know what's coming up then, Danny?
What's coming up?
What do you call it? This fall, are you going to put in your thing for elk hunting?
No, I'm not going to be.
They're
going to
do
crazy?
10 more permits.
I got more chance. I'd be better off betting on that 65-1 odds horse. That's what kills me.
Yeah.
Everybody, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's good. I'll put in for it.
Well,
forget it.
You can't win
the
if you don't play.
The DNR isn't going to sucker me into paying $10, right?
Hey, you can't.
You'd be better off putting your $10 on that 65-1 horse, dude.
But you're lucky. But
think
you're lucky at those things.
I haven't been lucky in a long time.
Well, you used to be. Maybe
used
it'll
to get
come
rucky,
back.
But not maybe much anymore.
Maybe it'll come back. But
huh?
Maybe the luck will come
luck
back.
Will come back.
You can't win if you don't play. See, you got it. You put your $10 in, you might get that elk permit. We'd be talking about you for years to come.
Oh, yeah, I want to go up to the Shequamigan and shoot one with a big orange life preserver going, or you know, tracking what looks like an orange, you know, around its neck.
Well, not all of them have that. So
you know what?
But anyway, they will be doing 10 more of those this year.
I've never really had a big desire to shoot an elk.
No?
Nah, never tripped my trigger. Moose either.
No?
Nah.
No.
I'm more into the great bears.
Yeah, my son, he shoots those great bears. He still puts in his thing to get his points down in Arizona for elk hunting.
That's where you got to go because my buddy Jeff Schmelzer shot two monster elk with his bow.
Yeah, Arizona or New Mexico, they got some monsters there. Well, there's a number of areas that do. But anyway, and when he does get a permit, he said, he's going. He's going on there.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent down there.
Yeah, he's going
to
try it.
Yeah, I think you got to put in $75 every year. It used
something,
to be.
Yeah.
And it takes 7-10 years maybe to get a tag.
It takes a
and
long time.
I suppose if I started now, maybe if I got a tag, Arizona, I could go see our friend Ron Johnson down there.
Yeah, you could go fishing.
Have a free place to stay.
And hunting.
Fishing and hunting.
Oh,
and
man.
Maybe go shoot an elk. And
how great would that be?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So when we go to this sports update, Danny, I'm going to give the phone number of our illustrious DNR fisheries biologist for our area, Ben. Is it pronounced Heisner?
Heisner.
Yeah. I'm gonna you know, give the number to Nick, and then we'll give him a call during 7 o'clock.
Are you going
to
try calling Ben?
After the sports update, yeah, and we'll ask him.
The guy's probably sleeping right now.
Well, we'll. No,
or he's trying
come
to fish
on.
And
cuss.
Why are you going to bother him now about it?
Well, because
you're going to call him and go, hey, you know, there's a fungus on a few fish's noses. Go, what? You know?
Maybe he knows something about it.
Three fish were found with fungus?
Well, we're gonna call him anyway. We're going to see if he's around.
All right. Why don't you
call
the Pope
and
while
when
we're
you
at
call
it.
Him, when you're calling him, just say that Dan Bush wanted me to
call
you.
Right.
All Danny's idea.
Yeah, all Danny's idea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.